so. Did you know y'all got issues this morning? I've come to tell you today you have issues. Anybody ever tell you that? Or you ever had anybody say that to you about someone else? Man, they got issues. I want to start a series with you today called Confronting Life's Issues. And you got issues. And I got issues. And we all got issues. And so I want to begin to, you know, go into a series and talk about some things that some of us have issues with. And if I talk about enough issues, surely I'll find you unless you're a liar about it all. But one of the things I think we greatly have need of in the church is to begin to teach things that hit us where we are. Because we can pray in tongues for hours and we can worship for hours, but when we get out of the prayer room, things are tough. Okay? So I think we need to begin. The Lord wants to, and I'm convinced that the Lord wants to heal us. The church is filled with people that are not healed. All the strife that is in church comes from people who are not healed. You need to understand that. And so much this morning, I wish I had the words to that song in front of me. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying that. There are curses that are on our lives. And He doesn't want us to walk in curses. We got issues. And the thing is about church people lie about their issues. They're ready to fall apart, ready to give up, ready to commit suicide. Another pastor committed suicide in the last 2 days. But we come to church and, glory to God. He is my Savior. He is my Jesus. And you're wanting to run the car off the cliff before you got to church that morning. And you're going to want to do it when you leave. But when you get in front of your church people, because you're good little Christian liars, you don't want to talk about your issues. You don't want to admit you got issues. And if you're in the ministry, you sure don't want to admit your issues, because you think if you admit your issues, ain't nobody going to follow you no more. But folks, you got issues. We all got issues. I hear you, Lord. I want to do another series on being a family. But if we're going to be a family, you know what a family really is? They know your stuff. They know your issues. They're stuck with you. But they know your issues. Hello? And I think what the Lord wants to build in the earth is a sense of family in a church. See, your family knows your issues and they're stuck with you. They're going to stay. If it's your kids, they're going to stay because they ain't got no choice. You pay for everything they get. But what if we begin to build a family in the church that I know you got issues. I love you. Still, yeah, I'm not leaving you because I got my own. Are you hearing me? What if we begin to build a group of people who don't hide their issues? And we create an atmosphere where we quit lying to each other and acting like we don't have no issues. Everybody in the church needs healed. If you're breathing, and you've been breathing longer than 5 minutes, you got stuff piled up on the inside of you. You got issues. And when we come to worship, worship is sometimes hindered because the people are sitting there with issues. And God wants to begin to do something in this house to where all of our issues get washed and cleaned. And that's the word that was coming forth this morning. Devil, you can't take what He has for me. Because the cross and the blood are bigger than any issue I have. But I cannot get free from my issue until I am willing to acknowledge my issue. You better understand that. We can't keep faking it until we make it. One of the things that's going on right now in the Spirit is the Holy Spirit is challenging our facade. It's getting harder and harder for us to fake it. We used to be able to come into church and go, and everybody think we're just us and Jesus and everything's okay. Well, now it's getting harder to do that because the Holy Spirit is confronting your issues because He cannot free you unless you get your issue in the open. open. I know this is not you, it's just me. So let's talk about issues. Let's do a series on life's issues. I promise you today there's deliverance in this room. It's been here from the time they started worship. You can get free today, but you can never be free of anything that you won't acknowledge. I'm telling you, this is prophetic. You cannot be free from anything you're unwilling to acknowledge is going on in your life. And when you acknowledge it, you automatically step into humility, which means 90% of the battle is finished. That which you hide will always keep you captive. Anything you hide will rule and own you. So the scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got issues. I got issues. The issues are in our heart. What's our heart? Really, it's the soulish realm. My mind, my will, my emotions. You got issues in your mind. Between your ears lies your problem. All morning I sense people in this room that are believing lies. The enemy is beating you up. And there's not an ounce of truth in anything he's told you because he can't speak truth. What you think about yourself, what you think about your situation, none of it's true. But you're living as though it is true because it's in your mind, will, and emotions that you have issues. And see, that's why many times you can spend time in the presence of the Lord. You ever been in the great presence of the Lord? And your issues are there by the time you start your car to get out of the parking lot? Because the issues are in two different places. Your spirit man is made just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit resides there. But your mind, will, and emotions, that is not the case. You got issues. And the Lord wants to free us from our issues. And the issues are in our heart. It's quiet in here again. I'm going to deal this morning with a certain issue. Let's read some scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God. God did not send an evil spirit. This is a bad wording. God allowed it to happen, but God did not send it. But now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. And he raved in the midst of the house. I've had that one come on me before, just telling the truth. While David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand, Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. Not in my notes, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Listen now. Listen to this again. He raved in the midst of his house. When did he rave? While David was playing the harp with his hand. You know why some of y'all don't like worship here? Because when that worship comes, it causes the dirt to rise up in you. It was in the presence of worship that this thing came over him and he wanted to kill somebody. Don't you lie to me. Every Sunday morning when the worship comes and his authentic presence comes, there's people thinking, God, I'd really like to kill somebody. Why is that? See, you can go to most places and go in there worship and you won't be challenged because the presence is not there. The smoke, the lights, the mirrors, the sound, the excellence is there, but it's coming from a place of deadness. So you don't get challenged. But when Saul found himself in true presence, guess what happened? His issues showed up. I've watched this over the years. You can go to other churches and keep your issues. You won't be able to keep your issues here because the presence of the Lord is here. And it's not because we preach on it or because we don't like you. His presence is here. His presence makes your issues come out. And so when people come to a house like this, they got one of two choices. They're either going to leave and take their issues with them. There are people in this room the enemy's trying to get you to leave right now. And you know why? Because the Holy Ghost is confronting your issues, and if you leave, you'll never be free. But if you'll stay, it'll pull it to the surface and you'll get free. You got issues. And the presence of the Lord oftentimes exposes our issues. So in the middle of the presence, he wants to kill David. Saul had issues. Do you know, and I may do this sometime, I've done it in the past, but when you look at Saul and David, there are two different types of churches in the earth. There's a Saul church and a David church. But unfortunately, there's two different types of people in pews. There's some Davids in here this morning, and there's some Sauls in here this morning. And when they get in the presence of the Lord, things begin to happen that they don't understand. So we got to deal with issues. And let's look at Saul's issue. What was Saul's issue? Now, you know the deal. Saul did everything in his power to kill David. Right? What was his issue? It's the same issue that's rampant in the church today. Somebody said jealous. That's not his issue, though. That's a branch. That's not the root. That's just a branch. Oh, that's a branch. So we want to look at his issue. Here's where we begin to find his issue. 1 Samuel 18:12. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Saul's issue was he was afraid. There's more than that, though. You're sitting there saying, I'm not afraid of anything. No, he had a specific type of fear operating in his life. And it rose up in him in the midst of the presence of the Lord and caused him to want to kill David. But it says he was afraid. Now let's go a little farther. 1 Samuel 10, starting in verse 20. Thus Samuel brought all the tribes. Here's Samuel picking out a king, which God didn't want him to do to start with. That was the first issue. Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and Matrite, and the Matrite family was there. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, but when they looked for him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired further of the Lord. Has the man come here yet? So the Lord said, behold, he is hiding himself. The King James says, he's hiding himself in the stuff. What stuff are you hiding in this morning? He was called to be king. But we find what his real issue is here, because when they came looking for a king, he was hiding in the stuff. So they ran and took him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. You understand that many people are struggling on the inside, but on the outside they look like they've got it all together. But it's on the inside that there's a fear. Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people. Listen to what the people are saying. Some of you in this room, people are saying something different about you than what you believe. You're bound because you think they think something of you they don't. I'm feeling there's deliverance all over this house. The first thing you've got to do is quit thinking people think things about you that they don't. The enemy has bombarded some of you, making you think people think a thing about you that they don't even think. Saul was so scared on the inside that he was hiding among the stuff, and the people were talking about what an awesome guy he was. I know that's what y'all do to me. I know. You're, man, he is so good looking. Tell the truth. Shun the devil. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you don't get it on the inside. If you got an issue springing up in your heart, you can actually be something completely different than what you think you are, and your battle is between your ears. they thought, my God, look at this man. He's surely a king. The king on the inside was hiding among the stuff. What stuff are you hiding in this morning? Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? I can just see him now going, who are y'all talking to? I was just hiding out back here in the stuff. Long live the king. Then Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom, and they wrote them in a book and placed it all before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his house. Saul also went to his house at Gibeah. And the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But certain worthless men said, how can this one deliver us? You got issues. Why was Saul trying to kill David? Number one, he was hiding in the stuff. Now we see that he heard voices in his head. He heard voices. He heard those voices that said, this guy can't. This guy's nobody. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. You mark my words today. Some of you are wrestling with everything in you because you are not free from someone telling you you are nothing and you're not good enough. Saul became king, but on the inside he had issues. And the issue was he heard the voices of the people. Some of you are not free from the voices of the people. You've been injured and rejected by the words of others, and you can't move on in what God has for you because you've really not gotten free of those. And you've danced and you've worshiped and you've sang and you've preached and you've prayed, and you still ain't free. You got issues. Can you see that with Saul here? I'm convinced that Saul heard them say that they despised him. And then, so we see Saul hiding himself among the stuff. Now, what was Saul's issue? Some of us got it in here this morning. Listen now. 1 Samuel 15:17 is a scripture you've read. But something jumps out there about this situation. 1 Samuel 15:17. Listen. Samuel said to Saul, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? Boom. What is it? What issue is it that Saul has? He never stopped being little in his own eyes. He's got insecurity. God wants to free you from insecurity this morning. And the only way he's going to be able to do it is if you admit it. He was little in his own eyes. Why is he trying to kill David? Because he's little in his own eyes. Why is he intimidated because somebody sings better than him? He's little in his own eyes. Why can't he walk in the blessing of the leadership the Lord has given him? Because he's little in his own eyes. Feel some Holy Ghost in here. His issue was insecurity. He was little in his own eyes. He had an issue with insecurity. Folks, the church is filled with people that have insecurity issues. And I believe in this room this morning there are people with insecurity issues, and they are just beating you upside your head. And they're making it harder and harder for you to exist. And I believe the Lord sent me here today to just help you. It's insecurity. Call it what it is. Acknowledge it. I am so insecure that it's affecting my life. My insecurity is affecting my life. He was little in his own eyes. And I got news for you. It seems that many people whom the Lord calls to do great things struggle with insecurity. You need to understand that. If you're struggling with insecurity, many times it's a sign you got a great calling on your life. Now, what the Lord wants to do is get it to where you figure out you don't know what you're doing. But so some of you are struggling with the fact that you don't know what you're doing, but you've never come to the next step of understanding it doesn't matter because He's going to do it through you. See, some of you are stuck. You're still trying to do it. You're still looking at your inadequacies. But it ain't about you. You can't do it. When you settle, you can't do it. When you settle, you're clueless. See, I talked to you about the grace that comes. There's a different grace when I go to other nations. And I guarantee you, one of the reasons is I'm standing there saying, oh God, these people don't look like me, act like me, talk like me. You better show up. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And what you don't understand is every Sunday morning that I come in here, I've never stopped. I don't care if we have 5,000 people. I know that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm totally relying on Him. If He doesn't show up, there ain't no preaching going on. And I believe we have a worship team that knows that too. Lord, if you don't show up, nothing's going to go on here. So we got to learn to deal with these insecurities. But see, here's the issue. He wasn't sure who he was. He was intimidated by David because he wasn't sure who he was. He was intimidated by David because he wasn't sure who he was. What is my issue today, Pastor? You don't know who you are. You wouldn't be having these emotional issues if you knew who you were. The issue is insecurity. Am I talking to anybody at all in here? But see, we got to acknowledge it. He wasn't sure who he was. When you are unsure of your identity, you will always have relationship issues. If you're unsure of yourself, you will always have relationship issues. Because what's going on the inside of you is projected on other people, and it stands as a wall between you and building authentic relationships. Insecurity will rob you of good relationships. If you see yourself wrongly, you'll see others wrongly. If you're struggling on the inside with insecurity, you'll think everybody's out to get you. When I come in the zone I'm in, doing 14 things, and I don't speak to you, he doesn't like me. I know he doesn't like me. I can tell. No, he hadn't even thought about you today. I don't know which one's worse. But see, you got this insecure place on the inside of you, and you begin to project that. You see others based on how you see you. And if you see yourself as little, then you expect everybody else to treat you as little. And even when they're not treating you as little, you will think they're treating you as little because on the inside, you're little. Are you hearing me? God wants to free you today. I wonder what would happen in some of our lives if we'd just come and say, man, I got to tell you, I'm insecure about this stuff. I know you think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I'm insecure. That's why one thing I have always done, maybe it's because I understand insecurity a little bit, but if somebody speaks here, I don't care if they've been speaking 100 years. I don't care if they think they're God's gift to pulpits. If you have spoken here, there's a 99% chance that I have sent you a text and said, you did a good job. Well, why is that? Because inside of each of us, there is the need to know I'm okay. Now, think about that. Now, if we're going to be a family, what if we developed a culture where not just I did that, but we all did that? What if we developed a culture in this place where we were constantly letting people know, hey man, you rock. You're the bomb diggity. I think I stole that one from Hannah. Honestly, do you hear me? Because those people in those pews beside of you, hey folks, those people standing up here, what you think they know, they don't know because they're relying on the anointing. Many times they walk out of here thinking that was the most hellacious experience of my life. Because they got insecurity. When I left here last week, so many people told me, man, that was good. That really affected me. And the whole time I was standing up here thinking, root canal, root canal, root canal. See, you have to understand, you can't assume. You certainly can't assume with the anointing, because the weaker somebody really is and the more they rely on the Holy Spirit, the more they need, the stronger the anointing is on them. And when you see the strong anointing on them, you think they don't need you to tell them that, hey man, you're good. You did a good job. It helped me. It blessed me. You think they know it. Well, they should know it or they wouldn't be up there. They don't know it because we got issues. So let's talk some about insecurity. Actually, insecure, and this helps me, because a lot of times I've been wanting to teach on insecurity for a long time, but I couldn't quite grasp, you know, what I was really wanting to say. But when you understand the meaning of insecurity, are you insecure? Well, insecure, when you break down the word, in means not, secure means sure. So insecurity is really, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about me. I'm not sure where I stand with you. Insecurity is I'm not sure. That's what it means. So anytime that I'm not sure, guess what I do when I'm not sure? I back up from you. I hear you, Holy Spirit. When I am not sure of where you stand with me, I ain't kissing you on the cheek. When I'm unsure of you, I'm going to back up from you. Whether you realize it or not, there's a lot of relationships you're backing up from because you're not sure. I back up when I'm not sure. I wait for evidence. And sometimes the wall that we're getting in relationships is the fact that the person's not sure of what we really think about them. Sometimes they're prophetic and they know what you really think about them. That's even worse. In any case, I'm backing up. But it means not sure. Can anybody relate to that? Unsure. How do we get insecure? Where does the insecurity begin? Everybody in this room needs to take that 25-page questionnaire and fill it out and get free and healed. Think healing, don't think deliverance. Where does insecurity come from? How did I get insecure? Why am I unsure about me? Why are you unsure about you? Insecurity starts with a negative experience. You have some kind of experience in your life, and based on that experience that you have, you develop beliefs. And once you develop beliefs, you now have behavior. So the only way that I can change my belief system and change my behavior is to go back and correct that place where the event happened. Bubba beat you up on the playground in the second grade. And now you think everybody's Bubba. And you've been serving Jesus and praying and worshiping, but you still know that Bubba's somewhere in them pews. Experience leads to beliefs, which leads to behavior. That's where insecurity comes from. Something happened in your life. What is getting soul healing? It's going back to those places and closing the door and renouncing what you started believing when the event happened in your life. If you're insecure, it's tied to an event in your life. And now you think everybody thinks whatever they told you. So if you want to be healed, we've got to go back to these places where these negative things happen. Now, what the world tells you is this. Does anybody in here lack self-confidence? You ain't got confidence enough to say it. You lack self-confidence? Well, who in the world told you you were supposed to have it? Are you in the kingdom of God or in the world? Self-confidence is not a godly attribute. You're not supposed to have self-confidence. You better get this revelation right here. Some of us are struggling right now because we can't figure out, am I supposed to be confident? I feel insecure. I'm not sure on the inside. And we really think we're supposed to be confident in ourselves. Both are wrong. You're not supposed to be confident in yourself. You don't have a clue what you're doing. You want more anointing in your life? Don't have self-confidence. Have confidence in Him moving through you. Completely different thing. Self-confidence is a worldly idea. But spending time with Him and allowing Him to show me what my identity is and coming to believe what He thinks about me is where my confidence lies. And when I let Him tell me who I am, I don't give a flying fig what you have to say about me, because He's already told me who I am. And you can run your mouth on me, and you can belittle me, and you can tell me how I don't do a good job. It don't matter, because I've already got revelation on who I am from Him, and it's not confidence in self, it's confidence in what my daddy has said about me. Self-confidence is a worldly concept. Because it means you have faith in yourself. You know why some of us are stuck right now? Because we have confidence in ourselves. Proverbs 28:26. Look what it says. He who trusts his own heart is a fool. He who trusts his own trust in himself is a fool. Self-confidence. You don't need self-confidence. Self-confidence is a worldly idea. But you also don't need to have a wrong image on the inside. You just need to renew your mind to where you see you like He sees you. Are we doing okay? Yeah, I'd rather me preach about tongues or something, I'm sure. But you can keep speaking in tongues and live a hellish life. So it's foolish to develop self-confidence, because it says he who trusts himself is a fool. Now, one thing that's interesting to look at here, you know, I think we miss it on this. Do you know you can be perfectly confident in some aspects of your life, but be insecure in certain segments of your life? And that segment is where the enemy's smacking you. I can just keep getting this... Not for you, but I can just... That's what the enemy's doing to some of y'all. Just like a fish's tail. You ever seen a fish's tail? I like it. What Amy said is true. I know this as sure as I'm standing here. I've known it all morning. Some of you are getting tormented. They're tormenting spirits after you. But the issue is you got issues. And if you'll be open and honest about your issues, he won't have that avenue anymore in your life. Do you know when we have insecurity, so many things get us off track? Because what you perceive to be is not what is. And I'm at home in the fetal position. Because the enemy begins to bombard my mind and tell me things that are not true. Insecurity is based on a lie. You believe a lie. What happens when you believe a lie? You'll be damned. Damned if you do and damned if you don't. Some of you feel damned this morning because you're believing a lie. Are we learning anything? Now here we go. See, when I said, what was Saul's issue? You gave me the branches. You never gave me the root. The root was insecurity. He had a low self-image. He couldn't see himself properly. The other things were just a manifestation of the real core issue, which was he had wrong self-image. He was wrestling between seeing himself small or being confident in himself. You better hear that. I think there's a weight right there for all of us. we're somewhere between. We don't know whether to, we see ourselves small on the inside, and a lot of times when you see yourself small on the inside, you try to overcompensate and become self-confident. Both are ditches on either side of the road. So now let's look. How do you know if you're insecure? Here's where you got to be honest, baby, Bessie, Flossie, Bubba. Do I have a problem with insecurity? Don't lie. You lie, you fry, said Shirley Jones. How do you know if you're insecure? Number one, jealousy. You better be honest in this room. The last thing any of us want to do is admit jealousy, because you know it's just as sinful as it can be. You know it's straight from the devil. But you got to acknowledge it, because insecurity, jealousy is the indication of insecurity. What is jealousy? Man, I feel the Holy Spirit. I know there's deliverance in this room if you'll grasp this. What's jealousy? The fear of being displaced. The fear of losing your place. The fear of losing your spot. The fear of someone else taking your place. See, Saul, why did Saul hate David? Why was he jealous? He was afraid of losing his throne. Jealousy is me being afraid I'll lose what's mine. Jealousy will keep you from entering into the relationships he has for you. And it's rooted in being afraid you'll lose what you got. And here the Lord's been saying to this to me a lot lately. In Psalm 16:5, it says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He supports my lot. What that means is the Lord guards all that is yours. You better hear me. The Lord guards all that is mine. I don't have to lay awake at night and wonder if somebody's going to steal my church. I don't have to lay awake at night and wonder if somebody's going to steal my wife. The reason we're getting into this is we don't understand that he guards everything that's mine. If you're going to get my stuff, you got to come by my watchman. See? My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy's got a bigger shotgun than you got. If we understood that, we could break out of this. He's watching over what's mine. Nobody can take what's mine. Not a single human can turn anyone against me that's supposed to be in my life. I'm not going to wrestle about that. If someone can turn somebody against me, they never belonged in my life anyway. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. I'm not going to worry about that. He's watching over what's mine. I mean, so many pastors are just running around trying to put out fires. I'm not going to put out no fire. I didn't plant a church. We didn't do this. We didn't even do this merge. Jesus did this. So he's got it. You're the one that's in danger if you run your mouth. He's watching over all that's mine. So I don't even have to get jealous about you. He's got mine. You mind learning? But one thing I'm trying to get us to see is we've got to be honest about how we really feel. If something makes us feel jealous, we need to deal with that and quit faking ourselves out. Be honest about your real fears. I feel the Holy Spirit so strong in here that if you would just be able to say, I feel this with every fiber of my being. I know prophetically I'm afraid of being replaced. There are wives and husbands in this room that's your fear about allowing your spouse to function in what they're called to. Hello? I feel this. I'm not, this is not in notes. The issue is, I'm afraid he'll leave me behind. Be honest. Your real issue is you're afraid of getting left behind. And you're afraid of losing your place. Oh, I feel healing in this room. I speak to you. Nobody can replace you. I feel healing. If you could just get the revelation in your spirit right now, nobody can replace me. And see, I think we sometimes have these fears. I could do that right now. I've built relationships with people in this room for years, and along comes Sean and Kevin and Ron. And the fear could come up on the inside and say, man, they might replace me. And then I begin to act in a wrong way, and I begin to shut down what God wants to do with the real issues. I'm afraid they're going to replace me. I'm afraid you ain't going to love me no more. I need you to love me. I know I act big and tough, but I need you to love me. Are you hearing me? I feel freedom in this room for people that would just say, okay, God, you just gave me revelation. I know what's wrong with me now. I'm afraid I don't measure up. And if they find someone else who does measure up, they'll leave me. I'm afraid I'm not pretty enough. I'm afraid I'm not smart enough. And see what's going on. On the inside of you, you're playing back what people told you. You are little on the inside. Your issues, you're little on the inside. So because you're little on the inside, you're afraid somebody that's bigger than you are is going to replace you. And I just feel like saying that. Nobody can replace you. I feel this in the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about Tim Ray here for a minute. You think anybody can replace Tim Ray in my life? It ain't ever going to happen. He was here when you weren't. When we looked at 3, he was here. When we looked at 7, he was here. You're not going to replace that. But see, you can be wrestling on the inside with insecurity and think, man, they're going to replace me. And you become jealous. Jealousy is different from envy. You know the difference? Jealousy says, I'm afraid you're going to take what I have. There is freedom in this room if you acknowledge it. Why am I bucking against what God is doing? Because I'm afraid they're going to take what I have. Well, see, if we go back to what Sean said this morning, we don't have anything anyway. We're stewards of everything placed in our possession. When you hold on to something too tightly and God decides to move it from you, it'll crush you. But what it actually reveals is you were holding on to it, not him. And jealousy will begin to happen in your life because jealousy says, I'm afraid you're going to take what I have. Envy is different. Envy says, I want what you have. Because I do not have what you have, I feel ill towards you. Do you understand the difference between the two? Which one are you going to get delivered from? Both, I hope. I'm not in a hurry. I'm teaching you. Welcome to class. I'm early anyway. We didn't start till 1, so get over yourself. Now, what stops us from being confident? So we have a confidence problem. We have a wrong image on the inside. What causes that? How do we deal with that? What happens? What can cause us to have insecurity? This is something you never thought. I could go around the room right now and say, what causes you to have insecurity? This one won't be said. A weak prayer life. You don't spend any time with him. Because when you spend time with him, your confidence is built because you begin to get a revelation of who he says you are. But when you don't have no prayer life, if you want to get free from insecurity, develop a stronger prayer life. Because as you spend time with him, he's going to start talking to you about you. And all of a sudden, you're not feeling that way anymore. Prove it, you say. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. How did He get rid of fear? How do you get rid of fear? Seeking the Lord and having intimacy with Him. Because when I get to see how big He is, all of a sudden I'm not worried about you no more. So if I got an insecurity problem, I've really got a devotional life and a prayer problem. Some of you could be free by the end of the week if you just say, I'm praying 2 hours a day from now on. I'm not going to let the devil keep doing this on the inside of me. I'm going to get with my daddy and find out what he says about me. Come on, have you not noticed you get more insecure when you pray less? Baby, the righteous are as bold as a lion. When I come out of that prayer room, I'm ready for the lion, the bear, and what you got to say about me don't mean a thing to me. I don't see your face. I'm not looking at their faces. I'm not listening to their voices. Because I've already heard what he has to say. But when I have a weak prayer life, I'll struggle with insecurity. That's worth the price of admission today. Now let's look. It's an interesting thing. If we look at the Proverbs, everybody knows about the Proverbs 31 woman. And if we are in the very beginning of that, somewhere in that it tells us something about her. She wasn't insecure. She could do all those things because she wasn't insecure. How do I know that? Because it says in Proverbs 31:18, she perceives that her merchandise is good. She wasn't going out saying, well, I don't know if this stuff meets up to everybody else's. I don't know if I'll get anything out of it or not. Baby, she knew on the inside, my stuff is good. My stuff is as good as anybody else's. And it's well worthy of me taking it out to the marketplace. Are you hearing me? Perception. Some of you women want to be Proverbs 31 women. But your perception's off. She perceived. Man, my stuff's good stuff. I got the good stuff. Come on over here and buy the good stuff. She knew it inwardly. But she never said it outwardly because bragging is a sign of insecurity. If you know it on the inside, you don't have to say it on the outside. If you know it on the inside, you don't have to say it on the outside. If you don't know it on the inside, you will say it on the outside. And there'll be an arrogance about the way you handle yourself. Because you're not really sure who you are, so you're trying to prove something. Make sense? That's why a lot of times people the Lord uses greatly are very quiet. I don't have any need to prove myself to you. Because I'm not getting my sense of identity from you. He's told me who I am. He gave me a word to speak. You know, the only time I feel bad when I'm in the ministry, when I'm getting ready to speak, until I know what he's told me to say. Once I know what he has told me to say, I have no fear. And I really don't care whether you like it or not. I'm trying to help you get free. My job is not to make you like what I teach or preach. My job is only to deliver what he told me to deliver. And if I leave every meeting knowing I did what he said to do, I don't care. If they tell me I'm great, I don't care. If they tell me I'm terrible, I don't care. I wasn't there to get your opinion. I was there to do what he told me. The only time I wrestle is when I don't know what he's told me to do. Some of you are struggling with insecurity right now, and your real issue is you don't know what he's told you to do. The issue with you, sir, the issue with you, ma'am, is you really don't know what he's telling you to do. Because once I know he's told me, your opinion doesn't matter much to me. Don't let the door hit you. I love you, but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please him. And when I'm here to please him and he tells me what to do, I have a confidence. So you need to get confidence, but you got to know what he's telling you to do. There's identity issues in this room. Some of you, I'm telling you right now, you're not even who you're supposed to be. And the last season of your life, you were trying to be what somebody told you you should be, but you haven't ever started being who you are yet and who He said you were. And the minute that you begin to be who He says you are and understand what He's saying about you, you'll forget about all that other stuff. Sometimes we're going back in our life reaching for a identity that somebody else gave us. You'll never be happy in an identity somebody else gives you. But when you find out what He's saying about you, jealousy. I don't have to be jealous. Now here's the thing. People who are extremely confident and beat insecurity, they're confident. They embrace their individuality. You hear that? Do you know why you're struggling? You're afraid to be you. You're trying to do it like somebody else. Preach it like somebody else. Sing it like somebody else. I feel deliverance. You're trying to sing like somebody else. You're trying to preach like somebody else. There's nobody on planet Earth can preach like me. Glory to God. I didn't say anybody wanted to, but they can't even if they do want to. I am me. They didn't live my life. They don't have on the inside of them the experiences that I have. And when I have the confidence to be who I am, I don't worry about insecurity anymore. I don't compare myself to anybody else because they can't be me either. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. It's why I don't have skinny jeans because the preachers on TV do. I don't need them. I ain't no skinny jean guy. I ain't no metrosexual. Are you hearing me? Everybody trying to build churches and look like Stephen Furtick and all these people. Why don't you be who you are? He built what he built being who he is. And you can build what God's called you to build when you're you, but no other way. Because if you act like somebody else, you'll attract somebody that you were never intended to attract. We having fun yet? I'm almost done. Isaiah 49:5. Guess what it says? And now says the Lord, who formed me in the womb to be his servant. When I was in the womb, he didn't say, I formed this one to wear skinny jeans. Where I grew up, they're like, what in the heck is skinny jeans? But he formed me. He formed me. I didn't just show up. He formed me. He made me who I am. Why do I need to compete with you? Because you can't be me. I don't have to compete with you. He formed me. He made me who I am. You can't be me. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You can be a lot of things on the earth, baby, but you cannot be me. So why are you trying to be somebody else? Why are you trying to act like somebody else's preacher's wife? Why are you trying to act like somebody else's how their wife runs their house? Why can't you settle into who you are? Because authenticity is the thing that opens doors for you. I had a guy tell me one time, I wrestle sometimes with insecurities. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. But I'm going to tell you something. I had a guy tell me one time, if I had your voice, I would be known all over the world. What was he saying to me? There's an authenticity about you that if somebody hears you once, they'll forever know who you are. And if you're smart, sir, you will run with that. You won't try to be anybody else because you got something authentic. You're you. There's only one you on the planet. And what he was telling me, there's national exposure. There's things for you because who you are, the authenticity, if they hear you, they know you. Authenticity. You got to be who you are to get out of insecurity. We've been lying so long, we don't even know who we are. We get up in the morning, well, which me am I going to be today? Did you hear that in the spirit? I'm telling you. Which me am I today? Meet somebody in Walmart and I'm one me. On my job, I'm one me. Then I I run into people in my church and I'm another me. And I've done it so long, I'm so confused, I don't even know me. I don't know the real me. You want to get free today? Realize who you are and have the courage to be who you are. Ah, that's good. That's a good place right there. I feel the Holy Spirit bringing breakthrough. I give you permission to be you today. The Holy Ghost has given you permission to be you. And see, when you look at authenticity, everybody that you talk about is authentic. Nobody that copies somebody ever becomes great. I want you to name one person right now by their real name that's an Elvis impersonator. Now, you might know one. There's one locally here. But you don't know their name because they're trying to be him. And they can sing good. They can have their own career, but they're too busy trying to be somebody else. Be who you are. Authenticity is your ticket. Oh, I hear the Holy Ghost. Authenticity is your ticket. Country music is crap. You know why it's crap? Because everybody sounds the same. You hear what I'm telling you? Everybody sounds the same. Because they think that's what they got to do to make money. That's not the way it was if you go back in history. There are certain people, when you hear them, if you hear George Jones, there is no question on earth you're hearing George Jones. If you hear Merle Haggard, you know you're hearing Merle Haggard. It's not the case when I have to go to godforsaken Applebee's and listen to an hour's worth of today's crap. I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is. They all sound the same to me. Authenticity. Be who you are. That's good. I'm preaching to myself. When you are confident, you also set boundaries. Did you hear me? When you're confident, you set boundaries. We teach people how to treat us by what we tolerate. Bucking and kicking about how you've been treated, but you tolerated it. Do you know what? That's why I get a bad rap sometimes in here, but I'm not putting up with your mess. I'm not. I don't have to keep you here. If you talk bad about me. Because what I tolerate in my life, I'm approving. And self-confident people are not going to let you cross boundaries. When you get up to that spot, you're going to find a boundary. And that is okay. Because what you tolerate, you endorse. Confident people give input to others. I'd like to hear your opinion. But you need to grow up and not get mad when I don't follow your opinion. I appreciate you giving it, but you must leave it up to me as to whether I follow it or not. And then I appreciate you sharing it, and you appreciate that I listen, but after you share it, it's up to me. That's called boundaries. Is that good? Confident people are okay with working with others. Don't have to. That's why teamwork comes. I'm not one bit intimidated by Sean Boone. He don't intimidate me a bit. I know people are thinking, God, you don't know. I don't know. They're bringing two churches. I don't know if I'd do that or not. I'm not intimidated by him. He's not intimidated by me. We done butted heads many times already. They're both so hard that no blood came anywhere. Are you understanding? So you can have a strong team when you get self-confidence because you want the opinions of others. You can build something much stronger because I'm not worrying around. I'm not trying to find an identity. I know who I am. Are we learning? See, I'm only at 40 minutes. Glory to God. Let me leave you with two scriptures. How are we going to walk in confidence? Man, I just feel such... I believe the Lord is freeing people in here. I'd like to see you show up Wednesday and be you. Get that old religious false face off of you. Be free to be you. I feel such a release of the Spirit. The God speaking to people, be you. Don't try to teach like they teach. Don't try to sing like they sing. Because your future is in your authenticity. Second Corinthians 3:5. How do we deal with this? Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. How do I get rid of fear? I done told you. I don't fear. The only time I fear is when I don't know what He's telling me to say. But from the minute He tells me what to say, it's on Him, baby. It ain't on me. If it's horrible, it's on Him. My adequacy does not come from me. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. As soon as you establish that fact, don't know how to preach, don't know how to sing. I promise you, when I stood up to sing Amazing Grace to all these Kenyans, baby, there was insecurity. I only did it to honor John, and I didn't even tell him I was going to do it. I acted like, nah, I ain't doing that. But on the inside, I was thinking, you got to honor him. And the insecurity in me was saying, my God, I sure don't want to play with strange people. He wanted to play the guitar. I'm like, I've not tried that. That's kind of like David when he put on Saul's armor. I'm like, I'm not proving that one, so that don't sound good to me. And then, you know, that insecurity was going on. I'm like, God, what do I do? Guess what? I heard him say, sing Amazing Grace and go in to praise God. That was it for me. But in my mind, I was thinking, oh man, you sing without a note or anything, you could start out in the wrong place. If you start out in the wrong place, baby, it's bad. There ain't no recovery. So I was thinking, oh God, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Let this be okay, Jesus. The anointing came. One of the reasons the anointing comes is you realize you don't have a clue what you're doing. Lord, if you don't show up, we both going to look bad here today. Because I'm going to blame it on you. You can be secure when you realize your adequacy is not in you. You don't have a clue what you're doing. The most anointing that comes on my life is when I said, oh, I don't have a clue, Lord. Sometimes I'm feeling like last week, my God, root canal. These people don't, I mean, this is horrible. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. And see, that's what I realize, especially when I go to other nations, there's a grace that comes that's not here. There's a grace. There's a different grace. And it is grace. And it better be grace, because I don't know what I'm doing. I can't speak your language. And I don't look like you. It's grace.